This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And we are joined today in the remote dimension in which we now live when we do this podcast by a guest. We are joined today by someone who, in our conversation before we got started, self-described as someone that does all of the millennial jobs. They're a writer, a video creator, a podcaster. They have a new novel out. It's Jackson Bird. How are you doing, sir?
Good. Thank you so much for having me on No Bad Ideas. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, it's one of our better ideas, and we know all about bad ones. Jackson, so congratulations, new novel. Do you want to tell folks a little bit about Sordid and what that's about?
Yeah, well, it is a memoir, actually. So, you know, reality being stranger than fiction sometimes. Sordid, growing up, coming out, and finding my place, which now that it has been out for a year, I finally know the subtitle of my own book.
Right.
it was hard for me to get down during the original press tour. It just came out in paperback, and it is kind of the story of me figuring out my gender and my sort of place in the world. But it also comes with over a dozen like educational sidebars. So it's a great book for people who maybe have a trans person in their life that they're trying to learn a little bit more about, or hopefully for trans people themselves to, you know, see themselves reflected back in media a little bit more, because we need a lot more of that representation in the world.
Amazing.
And am I wrong that you also do a podcast of your own?
Yes, I lots of podcasts. But currently I am the host of a daily podcast called The Good News Ride Home. And
nice.
I've actually had to laugh listening to the last several episodes of No Bad Ideas, because I have heard of most of the stories that you found before listening, because I love it. It's so exciting, actually, for me, because it's called The Good News Ride Home, but it's kind of just like, what are the cool and weird things I found on the internet today? So I am also kind of out there searching for all the weirdest stories. So I feel a certain kinship with all of you right now.
Trawling through all the most terrible articles on the internet.
Yeah. Although, I don't know, based on what I was sort of hearing beforehand when you were trying to guess a little bit at what each of you had found, I don't think I have heard these ones before, so I don't think I'm coming in with an edge.
Exciting. Awesome. Well, before we get too far, let's talk about what the show is about before we leave anyone that is tuning in for the first time behind. So, this is No Bad Ideas. We bring in some articles or some internet documentation of some really terrible ideas that people have had, and then we try our best to, in just 10 very short minutes, turn them into the pitch, at least the beginnings of the pitch of a good story, a good film, a good book, a good, I don't know, shadow puppet show
stuff on the internet
somewhere.
Even just put it back into the ecosystem, whatever strikes our fancy.
And I think that today's first bad idea, I think that I am up to bat this one. Okay. Are you guys excited? Are you guys ready for today's first bad idea?
I'm nervous.
A little scared.
always a good place to start.
Let's rip
show.
The Band-Aid off.
All right. So for today's first bad idea, the headline, this is from oddee.com. I've never heard of this website before I discovered it today.
Huh.
But it specializes in all kinds of strange and odd stories. And for anyone that would like to read along, there's going to be a link to oddee.com in the episode description. But the headline reads, Belgian man pranked with pizza deliveries for 9 long years.
Oh, so close to a decade.
Oh, yeah. Just think. This man has kind of seen all the changes that the world has gone through, all the ways in which it's like regressed and evolved.
Oh, all the evolutions of the Domino's pizza tracker.
That's what I was going to say. Does this cover when Domino's changed their recipe? That was about 10 years ago. But of course, we don't know. He's not getting his pizza from Domino's necessarily.
Fair. Yeah. So the article itself reads, pizza deliveries, for people who don't know it, is an oldie but a goodie when it comes to pranks. But what if you were pranked for 9 years and constantly sent pizza that you didn't want order? Quote, it started 9 years ago, Van Landegem said. That is the name of the Belgian man who's receiving these pizzas.
Quote, yeah, very accurate Belgian pronunciation, right?
trying my best.
I have no idea what it is. I'm just assuming it's difficult.
I'm picturing this by a campfire with a flashlight underneath their chin.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Quote, suddenly a pizza delivery man handed me a whole load of pizzas, but I hadn't ordered anything. Sometimes pizzas, sometimes kebabs. No matter what was brought, the orders just kept on coming. He assumed it was just mix-ups, but after a while, it had to have been on purpose, and even maliciously so. Quote, I cannot sleep anymore. I start shaking every time I hear a scooter on the street. I dread that someone will come to drop off hot pizzas yet another time.
This poor man.
He was quoted as saying, quote, it can be on a weekday or during weekends and at any time of day. The orders come from delivery services and turnout, but also from the surrounding area. I have even had orders delivered to me at 2 a.m. The best of this bad situation is that Van Larchem doesn't owe anything out of pocket for the deliveries, although he does pay in headaches and sleep. The restaurants face the repercussions, however. Quote, I've always refused the deliveries, so I have never paid for anything, he stated. But at one point in January of last year, 10 different deliveries reportedly showed up at his door, one for 14 pizzas.
Wow.
Whoa.
Quote, it cost them money and they have to throw the food away. One day, on the day the 10 deliveries showed up, I did the math. It cost $510. The weird details, however, don't stop there.
Yeah, I'm racking my brains for why.
A friend of mine who lives in Herenthout, about 17 miles away, is going through the exact same thing as I am. She has been receiving pizzas she has not ordered for 9 years, too.
What?
He continued, suggesting the prankster is likely a mutual acquaintance. Sometimes we both get them on the same day. When that happens, we warn each other to expect a delivery.
Oh, my God.
The whole pizza delivery situations have been reported to the police, but no one knows who's doing it. He finished with, I cannot take it anymore. When I find out whoever has been bothering me for the past 9 years, it will not be their best day.
Oh. Wow. Not their best day is the title of something. I don't know if it's
I know, right?
Also, Malicious Kebab something. Is the name of my next metal band.
Malicious Kebab.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Malicious Kebab and their track list as we start our 10-minute timer.
So they really lost me at 2 a.m. Like, until then, I was like, it's free food. Like, what's the harm here? But shaking in the night from, like, lack of sleep because you can't trust that that won't be a ring on your doorbell, like, that's some harassment. I just need to know, like, did he do anything possibly to deserve like, this?
How did this like Count of Monte Cristo style like vengeance scheme begin?
There was a story, I forget when, years ago, about someone who had like a custom license plate that said null, and ended up getting like thousands of dollars worth of parking tickets because when there was an error in like the digital scanning system, it would just come up null.
Wow. And so Oh my God.
I'm just like, where does this guy live? What is his address? Like,
That's a much like sort of kinder interpretation. I was really thinking especially since there's the friend who's also got, like, did him and the friend, like, really piss someone off? And so it is, like, someone targeting them. But it could, you're right, it could be, like, likely. An accidental address thing.
Yeah, because there's two of them, or this is, like, the most misguided matchmaker of all time.
The thing that really gets me is, like, are they doing a different restaurant every single time? Because if these restaurants are, like, losing out on money, they should just blacklist his address. And I think this guy would be fine with that.
Like, we're never delivering there anymore.
Yeah, just like, you call us for pickup if you want food from us, but we are not delivering to you.
Can I get a fact check, Gabrielle? Was the caller, the anonymous prankster, paying for these? I missed that in the article. Or if the restaurant's getting left on the hook for these $500.
I believe the
orders.
Restaurants are getting left on the hook.
Yeah. I think it's like you select a cash delivery and the guy just refuses.
That's
it.
That's evil and makes me think it's coming from the inside.
Oh,
What is inside in this regard? Like something that works
like
at the restaurant?
Yeah, right. Because otherwise, Jackson made a very valid point that a business owner would not put up with this sort of a loss ongoingly, unless it's a different restaurant every time, which would be a very different direction.
But it's like mostly pizzas. So it has to be like the group of pizza delivery people who have been like stopped from unionizing and are trying to get at their bosses in a different way.
Yeah. What if it's like a group of folks who work at, you know, various takeaway restaurants who, like, over the years, there's been this lore of like, hey, man, you want a free pizza? Here's the address you put in for a fake delivery that will always get rejected. And it's like passed down from delivery worker to delivery worker.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
Oh, interesting.
And it's like sort of a Robin Hood situation where, like, if someone within this brotherhood of delivery people needs free food, they input this guy's address. And then when they need to bring the food back because he's refused it, they just keep it.
I like that.
Ooh.
That could explain the, wasn't there one day there was like an order, or there were like 10 orders and one of them was like 14 pizzas or something? Yeah. So, I mean, that could kind of fit, like, there was a big family or big group or something.
Right. Totally. That was the day that, like, they were having like the harvest festival or something, like a big town celebration. And it was just kind of like, you know, we just need to like cater this whole thing. So just like, you know, send all the stuff to whoever's house.
What if it's not just whoever's house? What if it's like, this is the, like, the unfounded delivery person union that like got busted by the corporate exec, and this is like the corporate exec's house, or like it used to be.
Okay, I see.
Oh, and then he moved in there.
Yeah,
and so
he's getting the lightning rod of hate. Like, he lives in the lightning rod of hate
without
from
knowing
all the delivery
it.
People.
Oh, no.
Yeah, without having any idea, and they think they're still dunking on the sort of douche who, you know, screwed them out of their like health benefits and reasonable working conditions. And it's just our poor man.
Oh, man. And the friend, maybe the friend, like, lives in where the exact second house was or something.
Right, exactly.
Oh, no. Right.
So, like, every place this person has lived.
Well, no, it's they followed him to hanging out with his friend's house, and it's his only friend. So they were like, we want to, like, ruin his network, but, like, who's his network? He just goes to this one guy's house. Okay, let's get that house.
I see. Got it. So it really is just a horrible case of mistaken identity.
Yes.
Until he finds them, and it's not their best day. Right. What did he say?
Yeah, no.
It won't be their best day. Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, it will not be their best day.
But then it also wasn't their worst, because they realized it was all a big misunderstanding, and they have some pizza.
I do. I mean, that is something that I do really like about this, is that the guy who it's happening to, you know, maybe from the start or maybe just because it's been happening for so long, like, he is really bothered by it, like, both disturbed in the I can't sleep, but also the wanting to, like, seek revenge on them when they find out. So I kind of love, like, we have this whole story building that gets, like, you know, really interesting, the union busting and all of that. But then at the end, like, the main guy who's getting bothered is just going to come out, like, guns a-blazing on them.
You could even do, you could even sort of have like, if we wanted to make this a multimedia experience, have like one story, which is about the pizza delivery folks. And then the other is about this poor innocent man who slowly goes insane from like the amount of deliveries that he's getting. And all of his friends are like, just move, just leave that apartment, man. It's not worth it.
Move. He's like, it's the principle but he's of so, the thing.
It's yeah, so he's I was stubborn here first.
And intransigent and like won't leave. And eventually they collide.
Oh, my sick mind went to the like end credit scene, like the bonus scene that you unlock of him on getting his revenge is just a face swap of that Reservoir Dog scene with the, whoever's been making the calls. I'm so sorry.
So this is actually, I think, like what my question was. We have about 3 minutes remaining. I think that so far we have like a very rich situation, but let's get sort of like specific about what is the story. Is the story, do we begin with, this has been going on for 9 years, and the guy that lives at the house discovers where the calls are coming from, and then it's a story about revenge? Is it kind of about like from the perspective of the delivery guys who are running the scheme? Sort of kind of like, what is the focus of the action?
I think it's better to have focus on a single protagonist if we're doing this like as a film or as a sort of shorter form story. This could be a TV series. I don't know, but
I think better as a film.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm imagining it very John Wick now.
No, but like, I think that it's that thing about like, they're not going to have their best day. Like it's so ominous and like, he's taking it so seriously.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So does it like open on him just like shaking in bed at 2 a.m, just like, like waiting for it to, yeah, waiting for the like the doorbell to ring, and then it's like it doesn't happen. Like he wakes up late because he was up all night, and then like
I think you start with like a therapist session where like he's, you know, people are trying to help him move past it. If we want Keanu Reeves, the therapist can be played by Carrie Ann Moss.
I'll keep going.
Oh no, go ahead.
Well, I like the idea of if at some point, maybe because he's been working with the therapist and he's trying to maybe ignore the call. So it is like 2 a.m. and he hears a noise and he thinks it's a scooter and he's like, no, I'm not going to go. But then it's actually like a home invader or something. Like he's become so primed that any kind of disturbances are a pizza delivery that now he's ignoring those signs when it's true danger.
When it's truly dangerous. But he is like more prepared to deal with the home invader because of how paranoid he has been about the delivery people.
Yeah.
No, but I love this idea, though. I love this idea of this poor guy's in bed, hears like a sound, like gets out of bed, like goes to the living room, finds a burglar, and it's like, whew, thank God, I thought you were someone with some pizzas. Look, man, just take whatever you want. Turn out the lights when you leave. Just kind of like, you know, whatever. Goes back to sleep.
I mean, that sets the tone.
I do also like Zach's idea, though, like if it does kind of, you know, open, or maybe there's some scene that if we don't know about the delivery yet, and it seems like some danger is true, like a home invasion or something, you know, and we get all of the kind of classic like tropes and camera angles that would be happening in that kind of scary moment. And then like he finally, like he slowly goes to the door and you can see the silhouette through the window. And then he like quickly opens it and you think it's going to be like a murderer with an axe and it's just a guy there with a box of pizza.
But the guy's reaction is like, no!
And he grabs him by the scruff of the neck. He's like, who sent you?
Yes.
Cut to the opening trailer. That's great.
Yeah.
Or the opening credits, rather.
Right. No, but it's like, you know, like, who sent you? Grubhub, man. I don't know. Like, you know, seamless.
Seamless?
I do. I also feel like if that cuts to opening credits and then, like, the therapy session actually is a perfect kind of, like, soft scene right after that.
Nice.
It's been going on for 9 years.
That is as far as we can make it, unfortunately. That is time for this Belgian man's crusade for answers about who has been tormenting him for 9 long years.
Oh my God. What a bizarre story.
It's, you know, I'm in general not a fan of conspiracy theories. I really want to get to the bottom of this one. Like, I'm like, let's get the murder board out.
I demand the serial production of the pizzas from nowhere. Ooh.
Oh my God. Sarah Koenig, get on this.
We gotta get Sarah Koenig on this.
All right, we should email her and take a quick break, and we'll be back with more bad ideas after that.
Hello there, dear listener. It is I, Zach Valenti, jumping in with a brief message. Have you heard the news? Gabrielle, Sarah, and myself have been hard at work bringing a new audio fiction program into being. It's called Unseen. Set in a world much like our own, where magic is real, but invisible to almost everyone. For the few magical beings that exist, every day is a struggle just to be seen. Season 1 of Unseen will feature 10 different stories of identity, connection, and personhood, and, of course, magic, in the modern world. We're currently in the process of fundraising for Unseen on Kickstarter to produce the first season later on this year. If you haven't yet checked out our page, go to www.unseen.show. There you'll be able to see the sweet rewards you can get in on, as well as the amazing stretch goals that we're stretching to reach now that we've funded our minimum goal. Once more, you can go to www.unseen.show to be transported to our Kickstarter page to support Unseen today. I also want to say a quick but huge thank you to everyone who's contributed and been sharing the page on social media or by word of mouth. All right, enough for me. Let's get back to No Bad Ideas. Well, that email got rejected, but thankfully... I've come with another bad idea for all of you to turn into, hopefully, a decent story. From NPR, it's been a while.
All right.
Emus have been banned for bad behavior, a hotel in Australia's outback says.
Oh, Australia.
I think I'd seen the story, and my question then, as it is now, is why were they allowed in the first place?
Because, Gabrielle, may I let my political... affiliation be known. Let the emus be free. Free the emus. Two emus, siblings Kevin and Carol, are now banned from a hotel in a tiny town in Australia's vast outback. Raised by an animal rescuer, the birds are usually a friendly and wide-eyed source of entertainment. But then the emus learned to climb the stairs.
Oh, it's like the Daleks in the Doctor Who reboot.
The new skill gave the birds access to the pub of the Yakara Hotel in Queensland.
Well, this is only going to spiral further from here on out.
Oh my gosh.
Once inside, they unleashed a long-legged brand of chaos. They snatched toast and French fries away from customers. One of the birds even went behind the bar. A stern response was required. Mm. Quote, emus have been banned from this establishment for bad behavior. A sign now says that the stairs leading up to the pub, the hotel's pub, now they just need to teach the emus to read. The message asks any human visitors to replace the emu barrier when they enter. Ah, more structural approach, I see. Quote, we've put the sign up, but we're not quite sure whether they're able to read or not. Hotel co-owner Jerry Gimblett said...
smart.
Evolution. The emus have been popular with visitors. They've learned that posing for a photo often means a reward of a quick snack, said Gimblet, who owns the hotel with her husband.
No.
Chris.
Bad.
The interesting thing, this is a quote, is when people are making toast in the annex, a head comes across, takes the toast, and gobbles it up as it
pops.
I
like that.
Gimblet told... the Brisbane Times also predicting a future adorable Pixar animation. Quote, it is not safe to get between an emu and food. They have a sharp, strong beak, and their long neck can suck up food like a high-powered vacuum cleaner, Chris says in an email to NPR. And there is a phenomenal photo of this kind of terrifying bird and videos. On the page, they do look a little bit like velociraptors,
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking. I'm sort of just like the raptors from Jurassic Park.
The kitchen scene in Jurassic Park.
Exactly. I'm literally rereading Jurassic Park right now.
Oh, really?
It's hot on my mind.
Another concern, if the emus are startled, the large birds would likely run fast. When frightened, the animals have a tendency, Chris says, to do a, quote, forward sprint whilst looking behind them at the source of their fright. And heaven help people and objects that happen to be in their, quote, blind, run forward. Despite the bird's transgressions, Gimlet says that she's glad Kevin and Carol have stuck around. Two survivors of a full nest of eggs that was found abandoned, all their brothers and sisters have since moved on. The pair have endeared themselves to locals and visitors alike until recently, Gimlet said, the emus had been kept at bay by cordons that were erected around the back of the hotel. Then the birds worked out how to use the three stairs leading up to the pub's patio. We didn't think that they could climb stairs, said Leanne Byrne, a Yakara resident who raised Carol and Kevin in an interview with the ABC. The animals made several cameos in that segment, lunging in front of the camera to grab pieces of bread. Now Gimlet, whoever put those pieces of bread there, that's on you. Now Gimlet said she's hoping the birds won't figure out how to maneuver limbo style under the rope and up the stairs. Crowding isn't normally a problem in the pub. After all, Yakara is a population of fewer than 20 people. But as is often the case with wild animals, there are other issues, literally. Quote, if I had control of their bowels, the emus would be welcome inside, Gimlet told the ABC. They're a tad incontinent, Byrne said. Byrne agreed. Even with the chance of foul behavior, Yakara's emus are generating interest online from people who said they want to visit this outback town. Many also said they're thankful for a bit of avian comic relief. Quote, the county is needing this with our COVID crisis. A visitor to the hotel's Facebook page wrote, the ABC journalist could not stop laughing, and nor could I. And with that,
that's good, at
charming
least.
Ending, 10 minutes on the clock.
You know, I recently saw a photo of a hotel, I think here in the United States, and their marquee said, like, pets welcome, but not bears. We won't make that mistake again. And I think that was a joke. But I sort of thought this emu one was going to just be a joke, too, before you read the whole article.
Oh, man.
I don't know. That's pretty specific.
It's a great joke or a great story, one or the other.
Yeah, but not neither.
Yeah, so are we thinking this is going to be, like Zach, you said, like Pixar's Emu Hotel, or like the Emu Hotel, like the movie of 2020.
Yeah. Like Shark
this
Week.
This could very easily be a Home Alone situation in the Australian outback.
Right. Or maybe like there's even kind of like a Most Dangerous Game sort of aspect to it. People, if they come to this town and they're like, why are these hotels so expensive? Like, I don't want to give you that much money. Then people are like, oh, there's a discounted hotel just a little ways out of town. Like, you can get there very quickly. But little do you know that as soon as you get there, you are put in the maze and hunted by the emos or something like that.
There's actually a period in Australian history in the 30s called the Great
Sarah,
Emu
I swear
War.
To God, if you tell me there's a period when people were hunted by emus for sport, I will cancel Australia.
They weren't hunted by emus, but like Australians failed to hunt emus because there were so many of them at a certain point in Australia's history. There was a war and the Australian military almost lost it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
How big is an emu? Like, how tall is this bird?
I don't know.
Like, between
taller
five
than
six
us,
feet?
I think. Like, I'm just looking at the photos and video.
I just did a quick Google search, and the first thing, if you Google emu, the first question that comes up, as people also ask, the first one is, can an emu kill you?
Oh, man.
Yikes.
I mean,
what's the answer?
Enough,
Yes, the answer links to an article from Botanica.com that is the world's most dangerous bird. So I think the answer is yes.
Holy shit. Yeah, it looks like, according to the Encyclopedia of Life, they are about 6 feet in length.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so like, so new Pixar tall person film. Sized.
The hotel is where killer emus go to unwind between like their mercenary chums.
Oh, man.
But then once they're there, the entire plot of the movie is like, will Sheila finally tell Steve that she has a crush on him or something right. like very small yeah. and mundane?
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Is Bruce going to get the promotion that he's been wanting for a while?
Head concierge.
Oh, Emu spring right. break.
Hmm. Mm. Yeah, I kind of like because like emus do have the potential to be the most dangerous bird, but like all the things in the story about what they're doing at the hotel, like none of it's too dangerous. It's more just a nuisance. And so right, I do yeah. kind of like the idea of an emu hotel where we just see them, you know, kind of in a Madagascar way of like the animals doing vaguely human things. And isn't it fun?
Right.
Now, I like that.
Now,
yeah.
is this specific?
I like that a lot.
In this world, are emus all like killer mercenaries, or is this just like one group of emus that happen to be killer mercenaries?
I kind of like that of like emus have all kinds of different jobs and hobbies and stuff, but then like maybe our main, if not our main character, then maybe the main antagonist, so I'm not sure which, is kind of a group of these murderous mercenaries
who roll into the hotel.
Yeah.
And there's maybe like a little bit of a dynamic of the emus that are out in the wild look down a little bit on these emus that now live amongst the humans. Like there's kind of this like dynamic of, my God, Bruce, your grandfather killed 19 soldiers in the Great Emu War of 1935. Look at you begging for scraps. Like, you know, you come from a long, proud line of warriors. And Bruce is like, of starving warriors. Like, no, I'm going to live.
The toast just pops right out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I really like that dynamic, actually. Of the older emus who fought in the wars and just sort of more in touch with what we think of actual emus. And then the younger generation is just like living the lap of luxury and trying to get away from all the bloodshed.
Maybe the older emus engineer some kind of event to paint the younger kids in a bad light so that the humans will turn against them. And that's the source of drama when all of a sudden it's like, haha, see the humans, you know, you can't count on them. They'll turn on you like that.
And it's ultimately a tale of friendship between these younger emus and the humans who work at the pub.
Oh, I was building up to the massacre ending, but, you know, that also works.
I mean, it's just a question of whether this is like a DreamWorks film or we put it on Adult Swim. Like, that's just, you know.
HBO hasn't made an animation in a while. Okay, so in the 4-ish minutes that you have left, let's see. Who's our protagonist in this epic?
Probably a young emu.
I think so.
Someone that is like very firmly on camp, like we should become even more intertwined with the humans. Mm-hmm. Let's call him Bruce. You said that name before, Sarah. I think that's a good name for our emu.
Bruce the emu from Queensland.
Does Bruce want to be a mercenary? Like, does Bruce want to find a non-violent profession amongst the humans?
Yeah, I think Bruce would probably want to be something like an influencer.
Oh, yeah.
Keep seeing, yeah, like, emus taking selfies, like, by the pool at the hotel.
Amazing. Oh, he has perfected the perfect selfie.
He just wants to do long posts about burnout and what you can do to swipe up to self-care yourself.
You've got to see Bruce's apology video. It's 30 minutes long, but it's worth it.
He totally shouldn't have swiped that toast. That was somebody else's toast. But it was just so delicious.
Can we make an actual, like, fake influencer account for Bruce the emo? That's what I want to do.
Well, yeah, we've got the multimedia marketing campaign
there we go.
Going now.
Right, but like, you know, like the movie is secondary. It's all about that marketing content.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be the first feature told through stories.
Yeah, and he's probably butting heads with his hard-ass mom and or dad,
yeah,
who are much mm-hmm. more of like, you know, you come from the outlands. You live in the outlands.
You've got to fight for what you want. You got to, you know,
right.
get it.
That is what makes you a moral mm-hmm. person, is like
struggle. Moral emu.
Yeah, moral emu. Excuse me.
Meanwhile, Bruce is like, but it's there. Look, I'm going to fight my laziness to grab it. Oh, I did. What a stunning victory. I guess I have this now.
Yeah.
Hooray. They're just like, no, it doesn't count.
What if, so we got like the group of mercenaries who come in, and yeah. what if I'm seeing some idea of tension here, of like, they maybe somehow cause some trouble. Bruce is maybe related, maybe not. Mm-hmm. But we get a resolve towards the end intergenerationally, where like the dad or the grandpa can see that actually there are some forms of this like murderous emu behavior that is actually not good. But also yeah. like Bruce had to, like, he got, you know, into some type of conflict, and he had to actually get up off of his lounge chair and you know, fight and learn some lessons.
And stand up for himself.
Yeah. So they sort of can find a common ground through the conflict that these mercenaries have caused.
Right.
Totally.
They drive out the mercenaries together. I love this.
Yeah, yeah.
This is charming. In the 30 seconds left, what is it called?
Oh, God. Emotional breakdown.
I still like just one. The Emu Hotel.
Emu Hotel is good. I like that as well.
I like that too, yeah.
Oh, I can't believe we didn't make a single emo joke.
I know. I've been trying to think of it, and it's been eluding me this entire.
Wait.
Maybe Bruce.
Emoji movie.
Oh no! I hate emojis.
Is that he makes emojis of himself and is able to buy the hotel and. You know, make peace with the mercenaries. This is amazing.
There's gonna be a side plot about him like sending a daily email to Apple where he wants them to add an emu emoji, isn't there?
And he doesn't know you're supposed to email Unicode, not Apple.
And anybody listening who's having a bad day should do themselves a favor and Google emus in the image search, because they're some of the most charming faces.
No.
Yeah, apparently image search. Don't just search on Google, because you'll find that they can kill you.
Yeah, image search.
Yeah.
Emu face.
If anybody's having too good a day, read the article about how they're one of the most dangerous birds.
I'm just there. I could literally send you all more faces than you have time to look at in a day. They're so adorable. I just appreciate what you've done with this weird little story.
Thank you for bringing us a very Australian story.
My pleasure.
Fresh from the outback.
Thank you, Jackson, for joining us this week on No Bad Ideas and turning these terrible ideas into decent stories. And thank you all for listening. And we'll be back on Thursday again with Jackson for some more No Bad Ideas. So make sure to tune in then.
Possibly with some pizzas, possibly with some emus. You're going to have to tune in to find out.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.